Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good. This was one of my favorite episodes that we've done because there was no real connection to them in terms of knowing them. A lot of the people we've had on our episode, we've gotten to know beforehand. But this particular one, we don't really know these guys.
We're talking about the Property Brothers.
Yes, just we're to talking let everyone about the know, Property Brothers.
You just started talking and no one knows who the hell we're talking about.
So, except that they downloaded it, so they know that we're the Property Brothers episode. So there's that. But let me just say, I've been such a fan of the Property Brothers. Yeah. I'm a huge HGTV. That is on my television all the time. I watch everything. Love It or List It, Property Brothers, Brother versus Brother, Chip and Joanna. I miss them on HGTV. But, you know, I'm one of those. So this was fun for me.
Yeah, this is, I've never seen an episode of any of this stuff. I know who they are because they're sort of these like tall, handsome men who are in the property business, but I've never seen a show. They though were so quick-witted and so funny and had such amazing energy.
That was so fun.
It was really, really fun.
And then Jonathan had to split afterwards, but Drew and I got to actually take Drew. I'm redoing my house and I got to walk around the house with Drew and he gave me some really good advice. And
well, I pitched
that
myself.
That was kind of a bit of a dream come true.
I pitched myself for their show. You know?
Well, we both pitched.
I know.
But I feel like I won it.
Well, of course you won because you're Kate. I mean, why would they choose me? I mean, as far as like ratings go, but you know, they might come around. Their story is really interesting. I mean, they were sort of relentless in their pursuit.
Entrepreneurs from day one.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. Very, very impressive.
Literally, they must have done everything.
I feel like they have.
Yeah, I mean, from magician to athlete to acting to, I mean, they're just to
Yeah.
Hangers.
Yeah, hangers.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to the hangers.
Anyway, it was an absolute pleasure.
Yep. And they have a podcast.
Yeah, Drew and his wife have a podcast, which is exciting.
Yeah, won't be bigger than ours, though. So
you're gonna
suck
be
it, boys!
Competitive with them. Oh my God, you just can't help yourself. I can't wait to do theirs because we get to talk about home. It's my favorite thing in the world. And then they have a new lifestyle magazine, which I think is going to be huge. They've got such a big.
Were you in it?
Yeah, I did it. I did it. Well, you know, Zoe Deschanel is dating Jonathan, and Zoe called me up and was like, hey, would you want to do the magazine? I'm such a fan. I was like, of course. I was like, do they want to come do the podcast? And they were like, sure, you do the magazine, we'll come do the podcast.
Oh, that's how it all went down.
Yeah, we
did
a little swapsies.
I didn't know that. Where was I?
During all that, this. Kind of insignificant. but we ended up having a great time with them. And the lifestyle magazine is called Reveal. And it's nice for them because they get to really explore other things that they wouldn't normally get to do on their show. And I think they're having a really fun time doing it.
Those boys can't not be successful in the things that they do.
You
they
can
really
tell
can.
Just by their personalities.
They're going to make it. They're going to will it to be successful with whatever it is they do, it feels like. And they work their asses off.
Yeah, they really do.
They're good.
All right. Well,
they're great kids. They're great kids.
What do you mean? They're older than me.
Yeah, but for me, they're great kids.
They're like your age.
Yeah, but they're 2 years younger. So they were great kids. Anyway, these are two great kids. You're going to enjoy their story.
Okay, ready? Here is Jonathan
and Drew Scott.
A.K.A. The Property Brothers.
PB and J.
Wait, they do have a J. Their brother is J.D.
PB and J. They must know that. Anyway, here they are. Enjoy.
You and I have a lot more in common than you think. We both have annoying brothers. Listen, whoa. I hope you're talking about JD and
this
not me.
This is very...
Well, that's the thing.
That's
no one's
right.
Gonna
JD's
know,
your older brother.
No one's
going
to know who the hell is talking right now, by the way.
Yeah. That's, I can do like the Queen voice. I can talk like a British woman.
We might have to do
that'll
that.
Help I know mean, who I am and Jonathan is.
How are we even going to navigate this?
Our mom doesn't even know our voice. The only way our mom can tell us apart on the phone is she says Jonathan uses bigger words.
That's true speaking.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jonathan uses bigger words.
That's what mom said. Drew died a little inside when mom said that.
Me sad. Me sad. Who's the oldest? Who came out first?
I am. Drew's 4 minutes younger. Yeah, look at those
wrinkles.
Well,
wait a minute.
The grays.
So
does it even matter?
So Jonathan came out first, but get this. Mom didn't even know there was a little Drew inside.
You've done your research.
That's what I do.
So when Jonathan, the doctor said that it's one big baby, that our heartbeats were in sync at that time, unless there was an issue, they never did ultrasound. And so the doctor was like, yeah, one big baby, all good. And then
we were
Jonathan
born in the
out.
30s, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Back when I was born in the 30s, we just use a good skin routine. But anyway, he came out and the doctors, so baby's skulls are kind of soft. So Jonathan's head was kind of squished a bit and he comes out and everyone's like, ugh. And anyway, then they're like happy, the doctor's leaving, and the nurse says, I think there's another one, and I was brought into this world with the words, oh shit, from my mom.
Oh my God.
Really?
But then the heaven sang, and then my squished little head, and then now I literally have a giant cranium. I can't wear hats. It's impossible.
You guys
have
the
same size head, though?
17 and 3/4.
His is a little bigger and freakier.
You're 7 3/4 head size?
You are the first person
to because that would be a 7 3/4, right?
7 3/4, yeah.
I mean, that's enormous.
Yeah. I like to think it's because of all the brain that I'm holding on to.
Nope.
No, it was because, remember, it was squished when he came out, and then all of a sudden it just popped, and it got really big.
What's your head size?
I think I'm like 5.5. I'm just
So you have the little pea head.
And why do I? You know, they were going to hire me on Beetlejuice. I was the perfect for casting on Beetlejuice. But no, I'm a little smaller. So the funny thing is, Jonathan's got the big head. My mom has a big head. And then I'm just a little smaller than them. But
well, then who did better on the SATs?
Well, we're from Canada. So
yeah, it's a different system.
Oh, that's right.
Who did better on the SAT, eh?
Yes. There, no dude about it. I did better than Jonathan. But the interesting thing too, so like everyone assumes twins are, you know, identical twins are identical, but very different. Drew also has a micro penis. So it's
Now there is nothing wrong with a micro penis.
And for the record, we were Siamese. We were attached to the penis, and Jonathan just needed to take the larger share. So it's not my fault. My mom made the decision.
This is so typical of my life because I grew up with all brothers, and like within 5 minutes, it's always penis talk.
I'll
penis,
tell you a non-penis flatulation. Joke. This is actually real. So everyone in my family is a J. Mm-hmm. Jim, Joanne, like James, Jonathan. And so they're all J's. And then when I was born, they named me Andrew. And so my initials are ass.
No.
And I'm like, is there a little, is my mom trying to like make fun of me? Then I realized Jonathan's name is John Ian Scott, and his name is Jizz. So I just realized.
I thought we were moving away from these jokes.
And
nobody knew that.
Jizz ass?
Yeah. I'm like, I think we were both the joke to our parents.
That's amazing.
This is amazing.
This just in.
Now wait.
Property Brothers canceled.
HGTV has taken them off the air. You guys, from the research that I've done, so here the dynamic here is usually, I usually do a lot of the research, Oliver freestyles. It's kind of.
I read. But it's more interesting for me to learn as we go.
So you're the Ben Affleck to this Matt Damon story here.
I'll be Ben Affleck, I guess. Yeah.
That's kind of like us too, though. I like to prep a little bit, and Jonathan likes to wing it, and I read up on people, and he can only read pop-up books, so it's a perfect comment. Totally fine.
So you guys, from the very beginning, I mean, notoriously, in everything you talk about, interviews, your book, you're very competitive.
Oh, yeah. I think, and naturally, when you share a womb with somebody, you are like, you're born into this lifelong competitive state, hyper competitive state. But the thing with us too is, it's not, we don't compete to knock each other down. Our whole lives, we've actually kind of competed, pushing each other to do better. And I think that's one thing we love about, we love working together. We always have. Mm-hmm. Though some of it is
really
annoying. Even growing up, Drew, he had to, like, if we were just going to the car, he had to be the first one to get to the car. And so it's always, like, everything. Drew actually takes it to the next level because he takes lessons for everything so he can beat you at everything. So he takes lessons for golf, you know, guitar.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
What? You take ping pong lessons?
I don't think I'm weird, guys. You guys are ganging up on me right now. No, listen. Why reinforce bad habits when you can learn to do it right? Growing up, Jonathan and our best friend Pedro, they would beat me at ping pong all the time. So my goal as an adult, because I have nothing else to go.
But all that energy.
Was just to be good enough to beat them. And now I can beat Jonathan pretty easy. Mom's whole thing is anytime the tension starts to go, Mom would always be like,
cookies,
anyone? And she would bake cookies and bring them in and interrupt everyone.
But she loves to be a part of everything we do. Like game nights, she wants to be right in there. So my mom's, or our mom, not my mom, she's 75, our dad's 85. And
but they like to play the games. And my mom is not the best. And have you ever played Codenames?
No.
Codenames? Oh, okay, well, we're going to play this one day.
Yeah.
But there's,
it should
but also,
be called Couples
You know
fighting.
Sudoku? Have you ever played? So Sudoku is like you fill in the numbers in a certain way and whatever. And I'm very
competitive. That's my game, but I never pronounce it right.
Yeah, everyone calls it Sudoku and all these other things.
Sudoku.
My mom thought that she comes to play it, and I'm very competitive with that, and I'm very good. I'm a math brain. And so she comes in, and it took me about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to finish, and she finished it in 3 minutes. I'm like, oh my god, Mom's like a genius. But she thought the game was just filling in random numbers everywhere, and she does, and then she thought she was really good at it.
So
she's
anything.
Never good at the games, but she thinks she is.
Oh, that's amazing. Bless
her heart.
But hold on, let's go back for a second now, because where were you guys born?
Born in Vancouver, raised just outside of Vancouver, right on the edge of the forestry. We grew up on a horse farm. So.
Canadians,
right?
Beautiful.
Ranch.
Yeah. You guys are so lucky. That is the most beautiful. I know it rains a lot, but it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. It is. You have the mountains and you have lakes and you have the ocean right there. It's absolutely stunning. And then we also lived in Alberta. And so you have Banff and Lake Louise.
I worked at Lake Louise and Banff. And I learned an interesting fact about Banff, that it has the most cases of STDs.
I knew
STD capital.
You were going to say that.
STD cap per capita, in Canada.
Well, it's because you think about it. In the world, everyone comes together to go there, including Oliver. And a lot of things happen.
Yeah.
That's actually their tourism campaign.
It is.
Yeah.
Come get an STD.
Come get
it. Bam.
I'm going to get a phone call now from the mayor of Banff. Yeah, we're very close friends.
You guys are definitely getting booted from HGTV. And then you had an older...
But then you had an older... You have an older brother.
Actually, can I tell you one thing about that, though? The whole... A lot of sex happening in Banff thing. So I graduated early from high school. Went to a high school where you work at your own pace, and I was good at that. Graduated early, worked in Banff. I
got an
up,
STD.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
Wait for the build-up.
Why just one?
So I heard when I was younger that girls love musicians, and so I'm like, I'm going to lock this in. So I learned the bagpipes. I didn't realize that's not the instrument anybody was interested
in.
But
smart man,
so we,
aren't you? Wait,
when I was living in Banff, I would go up into the hill and I would play the bag. I practice the bagpipes.
There's like this one.
I kid you not.
And women would just
horny moose would come elk like
the
they
elk
would come,
would come
over
out of the
hill,
trees
and
Are
they would
serious?
Listen to the bagpipes and they I think. The elk thought it was some form of mating call.
No, it was, because a bagpipe actually does sound like a cow.
Or you were just really bad at playing the bagpipe.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty bad.
That's but wait, did you actually hike with the bagpipe?
No.
Were you
First
up
of all,
in the mountains?
That is insanely adorable.
The hotel's on the edge of the mountain.
And also completely insane.
Yeah. We're Scottish. I mean, what else? What
I
other
know,
instrument
but
would
you
play?
Thought, if that was really what you thought women. In terms of
well, I started playing them when I was like 12
musicians.
Years old, 13 years
no,
old.
No, but also he misunderstood
so then
that.
You committed to the bagpipes.
Jonathan is a nerdy magician as well. So when he realized he got it wrong with musician, then he thought that the saying was women love a magician. And then he also was very lonely for many years.
I will admit I got a lot more attention from the ladies from the magic than I did from the
course.
How were you at magic?
I won awards.
You
I
were sick. I was reading up. I
really?
That is the research that I did.
Yeah.
He was a nationally
he
recognized
was,
magician.
He was third ranked. All these things of like, you know, New York
the
Times best-selling
thing.
Author.
It's
blah, blah.
On your Wikipedia
Freaking
page.
Magic man.
No, he's a magic man.
At 16, he was ranked third best in North America on the competitive magic circuit. And yeah, that's like this underground nerdy club.
Wow.
But anyway, he was pretty good. And the funny thing is, he has a twin and he never used me in his tricks. I think you need to have a resurgence. You have to come back out and do a big like David Copperfield routine.
You went to the same high school?
Yes,
we did
for the most part. There was one year we didn't. So we grew up just outside of Vancouver in a small town, Maple Ridge, and then at the same time while we were out there, and then at the time it was just a small house that we were when we were born that we lived in. Then our parents got this hobby farm in Maple Ridge, so we had some acreage. And then at the same time, every summer we would go out to Alberta. It's a small like
acres
yeah. So you're not doing cattle. It's just. Small five
it's to
acre.
Do like it's to do hobbies
you,
on.
You like, look like you know what you're doing with horses but you're not really having to do a lot of the work
got it. So it's a farm
for lazy people
it's like for hobbies like oh this is just a hobby these horses are just hobbies
yeah but God. So that's where it
Jesus,
started
why is that taking
I'm
the
really
audience
particular
out.
Interest
let's, well let's, I don't think the audience
let's dig in more to the hobby thing
I mean okay. They under by the way the audience understood like right when he said it just
they
just
did
for... It's because he doesn't have any hobbies. His hobby is going to Banff and coming home with something
all kinds of
So then, but every year, though, our parents' dream was to have a ranch in Alberta. They met in Alberta up in Banff 50-plus years ago, and they, you know, they lived their life. They moved to the West Coast, had kids, and they always wanted to go back and have a place. So we ended up, they got a quarter section out there, 160 acres, and they ended up building the family ranch out there. So when that happened, my dad went out to build the ranch, the house. Jonathan went with him, and so for 1 year of high school, we were split. I was on the West Coast with my older brother, my mom, and Jonathan was out with my dad out there. And it was the weirdest thing for us to be separated because we always did everything together.
Were you in a low-level depression? Did you know that things were going on with Jonathan or vice versa?
We did actually have one really weird happenstance. And it was so the school I went to was a small town rural school. Like the high school that we were in BC was this like new age work at your own pace, a lot more like college where you can drive your schedule if you want, if you're good that way. I thrived at that, but when I went back to that rural school, it was literally sit like in a prison cell classroom and be droned at by a teacher. It was awful. I hated it. My creativity was squashed, and so I did not enjoy that at all. But I remember one time I woke up one morning and I, you know, hadn't talked to Drew in a couple of days or whatever, and my mom and dad was talking to him that afternoon. But I woke up with a killer sore knee. I don't know. I thought I slept on it funny. Something was weird. I don't know what. That afternoon when I was talking to my parents, they're like, that's so weird because Drew that morning had blown his knee out in a basketball game. And it just
total coincidence, twin thing, who knows what it is.
Full
but
quantum enmeshment, that's weird. What it is. You guys are literally vibrating at exactly the same frequency.
Well, there is in that realm, I mean, there's definitely, I think there's some sort of a connection, and we did everything together. We started our first business together at 7 years old, and we were always little go-getters, and not having your sidekick in the same city as you is definitely a weird vibe.
Well, they say 40% of twins invent their own language.
We had one.
Little babies,
our parents would pay our older brother like a nickel or a quarter to translate what we were saying to each other. I don't think he had a clue what we were saying, but he'd be like, oh, they're talking about taking their toy or whatever. Like,
quarter, pay me.
What's right. the language in Game of Thrones? Draconi. What is it called?
Ours was a lot less violent sounding than that. Yeah. It was just a.
But what was it?
It was when we were babies, and it's quite common with twin babies that they just have their own language. And so there's a hilarious video online if you Google twin talk. It's these two babies standing in front of a fridge, and they're like,
and they're both start laughing.
Full on conversation. You have no idea. They're not speaking any language that we are aware of.
When you think about that, you spend the first moments of your life in this safe little haven together, literally intertwined, and then you come out into the world and you're thrust to be separate, literally separate entities. You don't feel that way when you're in the womb. You know, no. You really are interconnected like that.
No, so I wonder if there are any twins who just hate each other.
No, we actually had, growing up, we had friends, and there were the two brothers. We were friends with them, twins, but they did not talk. So the only time they would ever get together was if they got together with us, but they didn't talk. And that was, to me, that was a really sad thing. I think siblings in general, siblings that don't talk, you know, it's sad, but especially twins, there's this deeper connection that we have. And I sat on his head in the womb for 9 months. So, you know, you get a connection with someone when you do that.
Didn't you date twins?
We did at one point in high school. Yeah. And they looked identical. Like Jonathan and I would walk up and we'd be like, wait, am I with you? Who am I?
Wait a minute. They were identical twins?
They were super, you know, identical. Drew and I biologically are identical twins, but you can tell us apart. Like, you can tell who's who. These girls were spinning images of each other. You could not. And it actually got to a point where it was just a little too weird. And they were like, even named.
Really?
It was Jen and Jessica.
Was this high school?
Weird, yeah,
high
school, is an understatement.
So were you guys sexually active at this point in your lives?
I definitely was not. Oliver, so it was like, we're dating, but personal. I'd like to do that kissing thing one day. We did talk. Right. So we had a science teacher who was like, wouldn't it be interesting to see if your kids looked like each other? If, you know, because it's that stuff fascinates me. But no, let me point out,
that is so weird. Could you imagine
that as an experiment?
Yeah, I mean, we should have. Drew's wife and my girlfriend might not be too thrilled with it, but
it's okay.
Yeah,
it's science.
It's for science, and it's for HGTV.
Jonathan got into his like manly groove at a younger age than me. So him and Pedro, our best friend, like we started clubbing at 16 in Canada where we lived. It was 19 was the age, but we were tall, and so everybody assumed we were of age. And our friend Pedro, he was muscular and hairy, so people assumed he was of age. And so they would hit the club, and they were always like, you know, sort of the numbers game, like sup, slap, slap. And they were just kind of like, talk to everybody. I was too nervous, and I felt like embarrassed to try and hit on girls. So we were very different in high school in that realm, where he was very comfortable sex.
I'll point it. He was the most awkward man around girls of all time. It was like watching a Ben Stiller character. It was painfully awkward. So Drew being, because his nickname was the robot growing up. He's the robot because everything just has to make sense the way it is. And so he analyzed why he was so bad and uncomfortable around girls, and he read this book and everything. And so he started challenging himself every day to talk to one new stranger, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't want to be the 40-year-old virgin.
But then he went completely the opposite way, and we're like, dude, you're a douchebag. Like, stop it. Like, you're too confident. And then we called him the coach, because then he'd coach us when nobody wanted his help.
Listen, our friends, we had friends that were very awkward, and they enjoyed. You maybe were confident. They weren't, and they wanted a little bit of help. But there was a shift. I was not a douche.
But hold on. Let me ask a question about that. Let me ask a question. You guys were raised by the same people. You are identical twins.
Yeah.
Why, or in your estimation, why do you think that there's a personality difference?
I took more nutrients in the womb, clearly.
No.
And Drew needed.
No, Jonathan.
He was first out.
No,
but does that matter?
No, that didn't matter. What it was, Jonathan got into his nerdy magic thing. I got into sports. So I was always like playing every sport out there, and I was obsessed. Jonathan got into this idea of theatrics and being a magician. And he'll deny this, but at a young age, here he is, you know, he was doing magic. We started as clowns, both of us, and then he went more into magic. He started getting an ego because he was getting attention.
There's a lot of information happening.
You guys are
clowns?
Crazy.
We were clowns.
You guys are crazy people.
We should be like 90 years old.
We started when we were 7 years old.
We're not even to like college yet.
I still want to talk about their childhood.
He wants to know more about this hobby farm thing.
Yeah, what's up with the hobby farm?
Like, no, I'm honestly... Guys, anyone listening, a hobby farm.
No, but I'm interested, honestly, in your older brother and what that relationship was like, because you guys are so connected, and now he's the older one sort of saying, oh, fuck, I guess I'm an only child.
As kids... He couldn't stand us. He could not stand us as kids.
Clearly. I mean, you guys were like, we like hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh, yeah.
All you just moving.
I feel like they should take over our podcast. And be the host.
Your producers actually already asked that. They said that I'd make a good Ollie.
What was that like, though?
Growing up for JD, he's 2 years older. He's more of the quiet one. He's sort of contemplative, and you know, he's very creative. He was a great writer as well when we were younger. He's always creating stories. But the thing is, Jonathan and I were high energy, and our dad at a young age, when we were a young age, he got a camcorder, and so he had that at the house. And Jonathan and I would be taking it every second we could get to create little like skits and sketches. We put on plays for the family. We were always trying to get in front of the camera. In fact, we have a video of Jonathan and me. I think we were like 8 years old, and they were panning across. We're on a pack trip up in the mountains with the horses, and it was a steak ride, and they're panning across showing all the guests and everybody that are there. They see JD, or they see Jonathan and me, and we're talking, trying to think of something to say, and we found a bag of chips, and so we're literally, the chips, and they're talking about the chips, and our voices are super high, and then pan from us over to JD, and Jonathan literally, you just hear his voice go, "Get the camera back on me!" That was us all through our childhood. We were like demon children.
I lived that.
Yeah.
I lived
that. Was that Kate?
Oh, yeah.
It's a very hard place to be for our older brother, in the sense that Drew and I have done every little business together, all of these things, and we have individually worked with JD on different projects over the years, but it would be a hard thing to be that other person who's not a part of the twin dynamic.
Well, growing up, I mean, we include him with our businesses and our shows, and we have him guest star, and he's had his own shows and whatnot, so you know, he keeps more than busy. But as kids, though, we were just so high energy, we never thought about how this could be tough for him or how annoying we were to him, so he just distanced himself when we were younger. But when we matured a little bit, grade 10, 11, we started to be a bit more mature, then we started to hang out in the same groups and whatnot.
How much older is he?
2 years older.
2 years. Well, then you guys are probably really tight now.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely. He was just here 2 days ago, hanging out, and actually he just got married as well.
His wife is a hair makeup artist, and she works with us on our shows too. So
cool.
She also travels.
It's all in the family.
Oh, that's fun.
But he's also, I mean, he's the quieter one. We were always the outgoing ones, but he was always very quirky, and he's the like the prank king. He was always pranking us. Even his wedding, they got married on Halloween, and it was a themed wedding. Everyone had to come. All 170 people had to come dressed up as a movie character, and so no cheaping out on costumes. So he's very quirky and fun and in his own way.
That sounds like a fun
It was the most fun.
So you guys then went from high school, you left, you ended up at the same college, right? Yep.
For a little while.
For a little bit, yeah. We actually went to the University of Calgary first. And so I was in kinesiology, study of the body. I wanted to be a basketball coach. But in Canada, at the high school level, you don't get paid to coach. You have to do it out of the kindness of your heart. And I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to survive? So I thought, if I was a phys ed teacher, it's like I'm being paid to coach. So I did that with my minor in math. Jonathan came in for business and theater. And then he, after that first year at the university, he didn't continue. He went into other stuff. He went back to school for construction and design. And I continued in school while we were investing in real estate. Because we got into real estate as a hobby. Another hobby.
Hobby farm.
Just out of high school.
This just sounds like the beginning of your life at the hobby farm sort of instilled lots of different...
Well, actually, you know what? It's funny. At the hobby farm. But when we were kids, we started our first business at 7 years old. And a lot of people think, when you say business, it's like lemonade stand. We're like, no, Jonathan and I were hardcore. We tried to research a little bit what we could do to make more money. We were at this arts and crafts sale, and we saw these decorative hangers, or coat hangers that were wrapped with nylon with a little rosette. And Jonathan and I are like, we could do that. And so we started making them. We sold them to friends and family. Then we started to try and market ourselves a little more. And this is not with any influence from our parents. This was just us. We found a woman who had a chain of American paraphernalia stores in Japan. She started buying them from us by the thousands. So here we are at 7 years old making thousands of dollars making these hangers.
Way. Wow.
We hired on friends to help us make them. And our mom would help with the rosettes. So we were always
go-getters. So you guys just... love just money.
Entrepreneur.
Well, the thing that drove us is our parents said to us when we were young, if we wanted something, they're not just going to buy it for
right.
us. We have to earn it. So I think it was the drive to make sure to go after something we really wanted
We needed money to get it, and sure. that drove us.
Exactly. I mean, I was entrepreneurial myself. The problem with me is I sold fake IDs, I grew weed, and I would create these like gotcha games. You know that movie Gotcha, where you're sort of you're paired up with two different people, and it's now you have to sort of shoot them, and it's a bit of a war of sorts. I created this whole game at my school. Everyone paid $20 to enter. I had thousands of dollars in my hand. After 3 weeks, the game just fizzled out, and I was left with all this money.
Oller's a scam artist.
So, after, yeah.
Did you guys both graduate?
We graduated. Jonathan actually graduated early as well.
High school.
College,
high school.
I didn't
No, I'm saying college.
No, college, I did 1 year at the University of Calgary, and then I went back and did a certificate program for construction and then separate for design. I did 4 years of college, but I never finished my kinesiology degree because while I was doing that, we were doing our real estate at the same time. You know, when we were just at the tail end of high school, Jonathan and I started thinking, what can we do to make more money? He wanted to be a magician. I wanted to be an actor and director, and we didn't want to be struggling artists. So we thought, you know, real estate is a great way to make money. The market was booming where our parents' ranch was. We were still in Vancouver, but our parents' ranch in Calgary. Calgary was the hottest market in all of Canada. So we thought, why don't we go to the University of Calgary? We'll go to school. So we're still making our parents happy, getting education. But at the same time, let's start investing in this real estate thing. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you could get into real estate without qualifying for mortgage. I could assume your mortgage. And so Jonathan and I found somebody who was willing to let us assume their mortgage and do a top up. So basically, out of pocket, we were $250 on a $200,000 house. Wow. That's our first one we got into. Started selling, started flipping, and then I ended up not finishing my degree because a lot of real estate companies.
They have a tunnel vision view of how you buy real estate. And so, like, we actually read every book we could, bought these infomercials, everything, and we realized, you don't have to have like a 25% down payment. And at that time, there were all kinds of programs that could get you into it. So that was our very first house, 18 years
old. Well, you also had, awesome. Just for people out there who think that this is something to do, but you also had vision for where you were probably buying and what you were going to be doing with it.
Yeah, Jonathan and I soaked up every bit of information. We late night infomercials were like, make a million in real estate.
Yeah.
We ordered all of those, and our whole plan was we would order them. You had like 90 days to return, and we would just photocopy all of the pages and then return it and not have to pay for it. But anyway, so we were always go-getters. We would research and research, and we would go all out. I think that's something our parents instilled in us at a young age. They really made us feel if we were passionate about something, they would support us through and through. But we had to give it 110%. We couldn't just go part way and do it. And so we really did. And having somebody that you can trust as your sidekick and the two of you can push, it made it a lot easier. I think a lot of friends of ours that have, they've just been a only child or they're trying to tackle something on their own, it's harder when you don't have that support net.
So when you're working together, especially when you're younger, I'm sure you guys have a different kind of groove now, but when you were younger, did you fight? Were there ever moments where you just...
Not really. So we've had a no bullshit policy our entire working relationship. If there's something that's bugging us, get it out now while it's small, because inevitably those things will turn into something bigger than they need to be. Mm. And so when people say that family can't work together, we haven't had that problem because we hash that stuff out. We also recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we naturally divide and conquer whatever task is.
Let me tell you the other side of the truth, though. So we have had, I think, three fights since our childhood, mainly as kids or teenagers. But the difference is Jonathan never had a problem punching me or hitting me. I never hit him. I would not do it. So he would come along and he would just like drill me one in the side if he was mad or something like that. And so the final one that we had, it was actually, I think, when we were about 18 or 19. Since then, our no BS policy has worked. But he was just getting under my skin and he was saying things to annoy me and he wasn't answering a question that I had. And I was driving and he was in the passenger seat. And just to stick it to me, we pull into the back alley and I'm about to pull into the garage. He leans over.
I like how you're the innocent angel.
I'm the innocent angel. I did nothing wrong. Yeah. I was singing his praises. Anyway, he reaches over and he takes the key out of the ignition. So I'm still moving in the car. I don't actually even know how that happened because it's not supposed to. He pulled the key out of the ignition.
What kind
he threw
of car
the keys.
Was this?
An old shitty old car. And he threw the keys down the alleyway, and then he's like, deal with that. And then he gets out, and so I ran after him so mad. And he's at the back door of the house, and he's just opening the screen door, and he's like, don't you dare. And
he ran over like he was going to clock me in the face. And I'm like, don't you dare.
I had never hit him before, and I think he thought this was the time. And he opens the screen door, and he like clenched his teeth, and he's like, don't you dare. He's ready for like a hit. And he clenched his teeth so hard, he broke his tooth.
No.
And it fell out. And so I just looked at that. I'm like, you did that to yourself. And I walked inside with a smile.
Totally beat the shit out of myself.
That's funny.
That's amazing. That so was that was it. Yeah. After that, like, never.
That's pretty amazing.
No, we'll have arguments or debates on things, but what we have come to realize, which I don't know how you guys deal through conflict like that, but at the end of the day, we know we're both good people. We love each other. We know whatever we run multiple businesses together. We know we're both looking for the best thing to happen for our business and growth. So I can't shut down his ideas. He's got good ideas. Jonathan always has great ideas. It's just that sometimes together we can come up with a better idea.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you think
stay in your lanes though when you're doing this stuff? Like, do you?
That's one. That's a big thing that a lot of people
most part
say to us. But the thing is, people from our shows, people think our lanes are Jonathan is the construction guy. I'm the suit. Wheeling and dealing guy. But in reality, Jonathan was the broker for our real estate company, and we both did the construction right from the... I'm not a licensed contractor. He went to school for that, but we both did the construction design right from the mid-90s.
What you're actually peeling back is this is the subject of the most recent fight we've ever had. And so this is it. Like, if you go back like a year or something like that, Drew hates it when people walk up and like, hey, it's the brother that doesn't do nothing.
Jonathan would,
I'd hate that too.
It's annoying, but I mean, again, we were delineating our roles. Like, we didn't want it to be a twin gimmick for Property Brothers as much as we each had our own role, but they also didn't want us both being the construction person, both being the real estate person. Originally, actually, I don't think we've ever told anybody this in interviews, but Jonathan was cast as the real estate guy originally. I was cast as the construction guy for the show.
Wow.
And so in the beginning, because they thought I looked more brawny at the time, and he had looked like the suit guy.
And I was the broker for our company, but yeah. I also was the licensed realtor.
A licensed contractor.
And so when they found out he wasn't licensed, they're like, oh, this could go badly, which, yeah, like, so we went into our natural roles of what our company was.
Yeah, exactly. But as we would go forward, I always thought it was funny. Jonathan is like, he would have his little ego thing where we do lectures from time to time, so we'll be in front of a crowd of, you know, 10, 20,000 people just talking about home, and Jonathan will walk out and be like, let me just double check out there. Between Drew and me, who likes Drew the most? And then it'd be like, one dude's like, yeah, Drew. And then everyone's like, who likes me? And the whole audience of women are like, have my baby. And anyway.
Well, I can definitely say I've never made that obnoxious face that he made when he was doing an impression of me.
Or that voice.
Yeah. Don't know that that's my voice.
It was in there.
Well, I think that.
This is like, I think that's a very sibling type of
thing. Do you guys ever get sick of being twins?
No.
Meaning, like, not, just,
you don't think about
it. The whole idea, though, Oliver.
Well, it's a good one, because how much do they have? Do you guys have to play into that dynamic? That is real. That,
yeah,
you,
the sticky you, stuff is
your identity lame. Is wrapped up in the fact that you are identical twins.
It is interesting that you'll get people who will want to do some gimmicky things. When, and most of the TV shows and what people know us for, they know properly, they know us together. But then when there's something that takes one of us in our own direction, Drew and his wife's podcast, for example, like, that's something that they're doing. And so the funny thing is, the first reaction is, where's Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always at, or if someone sees me, you know, I was all over the country filming a documentary on renewable energy and the secret war that's being waged against solar companies. And I was in all over the country. The first thing everyone always said to me is like, they'd like look past me like, where's your brother? Where's Drew?
And right. The funny, like, thing with that,
we're not attached.
Right.
Yeah, we have our own passion. Like the doc feature, well, we're both producing that. It's just he was the on screen. And for the podcast, we're producing this, but it's Linda and me. And it's, so everyone thinks that we're connected to the hip. And the thing I will say that's funny is, like, sometimes at the airport is where a lot of people will kind of stop us. And the first thing everyone says is, where's your brother?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm my own person, but he's just 10 feet behind me. He's right there. He'll be right here.
Do you guys purposely try to look different? Haircuts?
We do.
Beard.
Yeah. So growing up as kids, our parents dressed us in the same clothes but different colors. So Jonathan only got blue, and I literally got every other color. Why I'm the more stylish brother. Anyway, but no, so I had yellow, brown, orange, pink, red, whatever it was. Like, they put me in all different colors. And then as adults, so too, like, Property Brothers, right when we first got cast for the show, we had the same hair. It was a little bit longer, and I cut my hair because I always would change my hair. I didn't want it to be just the twin gimmick. I think the show wouldn't have lasted this 10 years if it was more twin gimmicky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to sort of give us that different look too, like Drew's got his dark beard, my beard is Zoe, and so we have our different
things. Right.
No, but the whole thing, again, we're our own people. We want to have our own looks. And the one thing, like, everybody thinks that Jonathan
like he sleeps in plaid. Like everyone thinks his only wardrobe is plaid. Oh, mind you, he's wearing plaid today. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but he always gets defensive. He's like, I have more. Plaid is only 10% of my wardrobe.
Solid 33%. So many
different voices for Jonathan. Is it? Yeah.
That's another voice.
I was going to say. Yeah.
How many voices
suddenly,
do I
Jonathan
have?
Is some yeah. pompous is all of a British sudden
sounding
man.
Like a British royalty.
When I'm a dick, I have a British accent.
So, okay. So you guys, you flip your first house. You then realize you have a knack for it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Did you sell it right away?
The first house we lived in a year.
Yeah. Well, actually, the very, very first house we did, we didn't even own it. It was just as we're getting going to college, a friend of ours was in this like long-term rental place, and they were kind of squatting on a lease that the lease had never been updated for like 10 years. So like 100 students have come and gone over the years renting room to room. So they're like, do you want to take it over? It was right across from the University of Calgary. It had like, what, 5 rooms in it?
Well, and it then had 5 rooms, and the price was something ridiculously low, like $1,600 or less.
No, it was $900 a month is what they were asking for, which it should have been way more. And so we went in there. We took out like 18 truckloads of garbage, like just students' crap that they'd left over the years. We cleaned the whole place out. We put 2 more bedrooms in the basement. We lived there rent-free for almost like the first full semester and a half.
Wow.
And then
the money we made off of that, we actually used that for our down payment. I mean, we only needed $250, but on the new house, that house we held for a year. We did a very basic renovation to it, and then we turned around and sold it a year later for a $50,000 profit. And that's where we started to realize
that's your
we
seed could money.
Do something in this,
yeah.
And this the way we used to assume somebody's mortgage and take it over without qualifying. You can't do that anymore. That was a different time back then. But it helped us get into. We got to the point where we were basically flipping house every I'd say 2 to 3 months, and then we got into doing 2 at a time and 3, and then we got into some more hold properties, and it was just a slow growth. So over 10 years, I mean, our original passions, the reason for doing it was for me to become an actor and director and Jonathan to do his magic. But then 10 years went by, and the only thing I had done was I was like a basketball player in a Toyota commercial. That was the only – it sounded like I miss what my passion was.
So did you put like a pitch together and then go to HGTV? Well,
So Drew was this when we're talking about strengths and weaknesses. So one of Drew's strengths is like if we walk into a room – Drew will go and introduce himself to every single table and every single person and know who they are and figure out this architecture of great person to keep in contact.
It's called charisma.
I ride into the room on my little red tricycle and my shorty short shorts, and right. I tell everybody who
and
I
chocolate
am.
Chocolate all over your face.
Yes. I'm the guy that sits in the corner, and if someone comes to me, I love conversation, yeah. I love learning about people, but I would rather be... I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. And so Drew had stayed in touch with all these people in TV and film business because we were actors as kids too. We had done a bunch of commercials and small movies of the week and stuff like that.
You may have heard of it. I was the Flin Flon guy in the football commercial in Canada.
Super Bowl.
You may have heard of me.
Breaker in Alberta. High.
I'm holding back.
But it was through that Drew got approached by a producer who said... Drew got cast in a show.
I want to go after my passion. And we had grown a successful real estate company. So I went back to Vancouver, which was the bustling film industry and TV industry in Canada. And I thought, I want to start auditioning again. I started getting put out, though, as a host, as a real estate expert, instead of as an actor. And at first, I'm like, this is lame. I want to be an action star. I know karate, and I should be in every... Steven Seagal movie, mm-hmm. And then I realized
I still believe that for you.
I want that. I do. Yeah, I will be his.
But no other action star, only Steven Seagal. Yes.
But then John and I started talking about. We're like, well, as a host, we're good on our feet. We had done comedy when we were younger. We did sketch, improv, stand up, and we're like, okay, we're good on our feet. Maybe as a host, this could work. So then at that point, I had a production company approach me for this show that was called.
No, he calls me up. He's like, dude, I landed a show. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I was living in Calgary at the time. He was in Vancouver. And he's like, yeah, this is great. I landed the show, host the show. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. What's the show? He's like, it's called Realtor Idol. It's like American Idol for Realtors. And there's a pause on the phone. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was a terrible idea. But it got my foot in the door. And then after the foot was in the door, I got another project pitched to me, something else. And Jonathan and I started saying, well, why are we waiting for these projects to come to us? Why don't we try pitching somebody? And at the time, we just thought, we're going to be good to host some show. So we pitched anything we were good at. So we actually pitched a magic show for Jonathan, something sport-related for me. We pitched an environmental show.
Who were you pitching these
Well,
to?
So this is the funny thing, too, network is at the time, we didn't know how it worked. So, you know, usually a production company that has clout, they'll talk to their network partners the same way we do
now with our production company. Right. By the time, we didn't have anything to lose, and we didn't understand the process. So we literally went into the yellow pages. We looked up all the networks, the big networks in Canada, and we just went and we found the head people of each of the networks, and we just went to them and said, we want to pitch you a show.
You guys are so...
Total hustlers.
Overachievers. Yeah. We were, except for it wasn't marijuana and so fake great. IDs. It was...
I know, look where I am.
He wasn't shows. Even an overachiever for those things.
I did well. I did very well in those businesses.
First of all your pot plants died.
They did.
Yeah. So to the network, we actually ended up, Rogers, one of the big networks, we were actually fortunate. The head guy, the VP of their new development, he actually sat down with us. He let us pitch him and everything like that. He said he likes us and our energy. He's like, this is not the process. This isn't how you do it. We would never give you money to produce a show because you have no track record. So he said that what you should do is find a production company that we know that will work with you, and we did. And then that's how eventually we were able to pitch through them. Then we pitched the idea of Jonathan and me doing what we do with clients already, Property Brothers, and then it was a slow takeoff. Actually, it was a fast takeoff. Within 3 months, we became the top show on the Canadian network. And then when we went to the U.S., within a matter of months, we were the top show on HGTV.
So HGTV basically took the idea from
Rogers. HGTV in the U.S. originally turned it down. They said they didn't get it. Two brothers. They were looking for husband and wife combos or male-female combos. And even HGTV Canada turned it down, and they said they don't have any room for it. It was this obscure network in Canada called the Women's Network, W Network. And they're like, you know, two young guys in tight jeans doing slow-motion renovations. Hell yeah, we'll take that. And that's so we did it. And then when we went to number one on that network within 3 months, we went back to HGTV US and said, hey, do you want to try it? You know, now that you see these ratings. And so they had us edit it down to a half hour version for the first season to test it. Same thing happened. Within 3 months, we were the number one show on the network.
Now, how many years has it been now?
10 years. It was actually 2008 was the first year I got a call about... potentially doing Property Brothers. And so at the time I was a real estate agent as well, so I was working with clients. The big movie chain in Canada is called Cineplex. And in Canada, and then the production company that approached me for Property Brothers is called Cineflix. And so I used to get bulk passes. I get 1,000 passes at a time for the Cineplex movies, and I would give them to clients as a gift. And so for the first 10 minutes of Cineflix calling me to pitch me to do this show, I was so confused because I thought it was the lady that was my contact for movie tickets. And I was finally like, I don't understand what you're talking about. I just want my movie passes for my clients. And she's like, no, we want you to host a TV show. I'm like, oh. So anyway, that's where in 2008 we started shooting. 2009 we did a sizzle at first, then we did a pilot episode, and then they actually we didn't hear from them actually for a couple of months, and we thought that they dropped the idea. And then so Jonathan was back in Calgary, I was back in Vancouver, and then randomly I just got a call and they said, hey, the network has decided to pick up a full first season of your show. Can you be moving to Toronto in a week?
Wow. They picked up a whole season.
Yeah, they picked up the whole season.
How many episodes are in a season?
Originally, we were just doing 13 episodes a season. And then because we were going away then and block shooting in different cities, we're like, well, we've got lots more time. Why don't we make this more efficient? And so we started doing 26
episodes for Property Brothers. But then we wanted to add another show, buying and selling. So Property Brothers was helping people to buy and renovate a house. Buying and selling is people who are trying to sell their house. So to make good use of our time, because we're going city to city. So we ended up 52 episodes a year between the two shows we were doing.
Whoa.
The next closest talent on the network was 13 episodes.
Wow.
Nobody was able to do it. And then our production company ended up taking over. This past year, we actually purchased the IP for Property Brothers. So we now own Property Brothers.
Oh, great.
Oh, and way to so go.
Who came up with the name?
Actually, it was a group thing between the network and whatnot. They sent we sent a list of ideas to them. Drew actually still has the original list, the piece of paper that we wrote it on.
But
I remember in the beginning, Drew. So we were talking about Property Brothers, and I remember Drew was like, "Nah, I think we can do better." And so we came up with this whole list: mending fences, bungalow brothers, like all this stupid shit.
Here we go. Here we go.
You're getting all the
the alternative names.
I'll pull out some good ones. So it was Relative Realty. On the Job with Jonathan and Drew. Double Vision. Those are those twin
Hold on.
Mending
Double.
Fences.
Double Vision's like a porno.
Yeah. Bros I've before Renos.
I think I have too.
No.
Bros before Renos.
Oh, whoa.
Renhos.
Who came up with the Bros before Renos?
I don't know. Two men and a hammer. I don't know. So there's so many dumb ones. And
Did
then we realized
Two Men and a Hammer.
Oh, yeah. Two Men and a Hammer.
Another porno.
Mirror Image.
That's where all my inspiration comes from.
The Brothers Rules.
Mirror Image. Wait, by the way, that is a statistic for twins. Do you know the statistic?
Yeah.
that amazing, mirror image identical twins have reverse asymmetrical features.
And also, like, that's because we are apparently mirror twins, because I'm a lefty, he's a righty.
Oh, so you have that too, because 20% have different. Yeah, they use.
And which is interesting. I mean, there's so many things. I'm a lefty, and Jonathan's a. See, yes, that's why we're the more brilliant ones.
I'm a lefty.
Oh, okay, all three of us are brilliant.
I write right handed, you know? And then all sports left handed.
And I'm actually the opposite. I have left and I throw left, but I bat right and I golf right and
I'm the same. I'm ambidextrous, so I do everything with both hands, but I predominantly do things like write and everything with my right hand.
I play guitar right-handed, but the only reason I do that, everything else I do left-handed, but that's because my dad refused to teach me guitar left-handed. He's like, you will learn what I know, and so I just learned right-handed. But anyway, yeah, so we are mirror twins, and the name of the show, I'm glad we went with Property Brothers. In the end, Jonathan and I had to talk. We're like, wait, if we make it Property Brothers, the chance of them replacing us after season one, if we really suck, is really low. So it's going to be harder to find other brothers that do what we do. So that's why we went with that name. And then it ended up being, we air in over 160 countries.
It's just
that's amazing.
So 10 years, and now, hundreds and have hundreds. How many houses?
400. As of within a couple months, we'll hit our 400th episode. 400, which we just discovered. We were looking at all the stats. That means that we have hosted more hours of original content, more episodes than any other person in history in this space.
In this space, yeah. But it's fun. We love. That's 400 families.
Okay.
But also people watching, the millions of people globally
of
that
all
have been inspired.
Of the 400 houses, have you ever done a house and been like, that was terrible.
This is okay. You know what's funny? How dare you?
We
judge?
Really fucked that house up.
There's one episode we didn't air. Out of all the episodes, there's only one that has never aired. And it was a guy, he was a firefighter. So the network does the approvals for who'll be on the show. And they're like, oh, a firefighter. You'll get his firefighter buddies over, and it'll be good TV, and it'll be good programming. Anyway, he wanted to buy this house. It was in a neighborhood in Toronto where it was an old landfill, and all the houses built on top of it. They didn't prep the ground properly, and all the houses were sinking. So when you walk into the house, from the front where you are to the back, it actually dipped like a foot. It was crazy. And he just wanted to level out the floors instead of properly fixing the house. And we said, we can't do that. We have to do everything properly. We would never do a half-assed job. And anyway, the guy was adamant he was going to buy the house. We ditched him, and he still got it.
We started the episode. We filmed for 2 days with a guy and did the tour and everything. And then I said to him, like, I'm not going to take on a project where we're illegally, mm-hmm. like, not getting permits or anything.
Well, yeah.
And so we didn't. That's the only one that hasn't aired. We've never, you know, had a project where I didn't like we screwed that up or I didn't like it. Sometimes, like, there have been things that I've done. Like, I remember one project, I had this idea in my mind for this really cool vintage medallion feature on the ceiling. It was an old row home, 120 years old, and tall ceiling. So I wanted to do this cool medallion thing, and I put it in, and I looked up when it was done, and I was like, that's the ugliest fucking thing I've ever seen, ever.
It looked like a vagina, actually.
It did. So does HGTV pay for the renovations?
No, and that's actually a great question.
And then the follow-up question is, when I watch some of these shows, it's like, is it done with quality material? Or is it just shit to cut costs?
No, that's a great thing. What I love, HGTV, they stay on top of productions because there are other shows out there that are home renovation shows on different networks and stuff. And a lot of times, you know, it could look pretty good on TV, but at the end of the day, it's not a great job. Or things aren't finished properly. It's just not what you would ever want to have in your house. We, on our shows, whatever you see, it is highest quality. You know, there's the National Building Code, then there's the Roe Code, we call it. Like, because our the level of what we want to leave everybody with is, it's important we give them the best of the best. Because the thing too is, they're all our, you know, calling card out there. If we do a terrible job and somebody says bad things about us, it doesn't look good on us as mm-hmm. well. And on top of that, people ask, like, the furniture, do you stage the house and it looks beautiful, and then as soon as you're done rolling, you're like, right. back up the truck, let's right. take it all out. No, with our shows, all of the furniture and everything's included mm-hmm. In the budget too.
Mm-hmm. It's important. Like, when we renovate a house, we renovate it the way we would want to renovate our own place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have gone in, like, I remember I went into a house that, it turns out, had been on another show years and years and years ago, and I could not believe the crappy quality of the work that had been done on this place. And so, yeah, like, that was one thing we said was very important to us. Yeah. Take the TV show out of it. We're actually trying to help these people and improve their lives, and mm-hmm. the only way you can do that is if you do it right.
You ever follow up?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Actually, last year we did a follow-up because we shot in Atlanta, and so we did a follow-up because there's one or two things that happen. We renovate the house,
And then we come back 5 years later and nothing has changed. Literally every like decor piece where we put it is in the exact same place. Nothing has changed, or the kids ruined it 5 months later. So we went back to this family and nothing had changed in their house. The only thing that changed, they got married since we were with, we did the show with them. And so one of our art pieces was swapped out for a wedding photo. But I mean, at the end of the day, like renovations are very stressful. Buying a house is very stressful. Anyone going through renovation knows it's stressful in a relationship. I see the look in your eyes, so you've dealt with it. But the last thing we would ever want to do is try to help a family through this process and then leave them high and dry on something in the end. We want them to love their home the way that we love our own homes.
I actually love the process. I always say if I wasn't doing what I like, at some point it would be fun to flip houses because I
love
it. You
have a good design eye. You have, from what I've seen, and also we featured you in Reveal, you have, at least it looks to me like you have a great design eye.
I think I do. I like it because I like living in my houses or the houses that I've done. You know, the craftsmanship and the work that people put into making homes to me is like, I mean, that's the stuff that I love.
Well, yeah, you don't need to have a stark modern home to get some of that modern aesthetic or functionality. You can still have those character elements throughout the home, and different spaces can have different vibes. That's why we love our home and what we did, because we made sure we cherished all the old. We had the original front door we refurbished and part of the original banister and fireplace. But then we moved the kitchen over. Before, they had the kitchen tucked away because it was a different style of living. Now we have an open flow from the kitchen through the dining to the living room.
So parents really design, like, was their home important to them, the way it felt and the things that were in it? And
yeah, I mean, home has always been very important for us. But from a design standpoint, my dad, absolutely not. My mom definitely had a little bit more of like a traditional designer flair that she would put into it. But home was very important for us, having those memories at the holidays, making sure that we felt like we were safe and that, you know, if there was something creatively that one of us wanted to follow, my parents would make sure that they built out a space for us to do that in. So like, you know, for my magic, great. I had a magic space that I could work
in. Or dad would let us use his office as our fort when we were kids. Like we'd take all the old boxes from the old appliances and stuff, and we would build out a whole town down there. And so they gave us areas to let our creativity grow. The most, for our parents, home was where we all were. It didn't matter the physical structure as much. It was where we were as a family and spending time together. And so we had moved a few times, but they really gave us that sense of calm whenever we were at home.
Yeah, I feel that way because we travel so much. But I think, and you know, Oliver's wife, Erin, does that as well, because she literally, I mean, we don't go anywhere without her bringing like half of the house.
Oh, that's
and
true,
the kitchen
and, Linda.
And like the snacks.
When we're filming on the road, I can pack up, no joke, my entire apartment or wherever we are on the road, I can pack my whole place up, less than 4 hours, done.
Yeah, not
Drew
Aaron.
And Linda takes her, like, have like 900 suitcases and a Sherpa and a,
You have to appreciate this though. When you film on the road, like we literally, majority of the time we're on the road working, you know, our family and friends stay at our houses at home more than we do. So we have our house on the road because we're always there. And then we have our house stuff at home. So we try to make ourselves comfortable on the road.
When did you guys discover that you were actually twins? Like, was there a moment where you went, oh, wait, this is not like the
normal?
For
years, I thought it was just a mirror that I was looking at until I turned 41. And then
for the first 6 months of Drew's life, he was growing in my shoulder. And then eventually they cut him out and he grew.
I don't remember exactly, though. Like when we're toddlers,
so was there
I think
ever
we realized,
a moment where, okay, is there ever a moment where you realize, like, were you always aware that you were, like, that it was different?
Yeah, as far as I can remember back to when I was a kid, because, you know, you can't remember everything as a kid. I remember having a twin. And maybe when we were toddlers, we just thought we were siblings or brothers. But I do remember thinking that there's a guy that looks exactly like me that is always around.
Even today, it's actually kind of funny because you don't think about it. You don't think about, oh, I have a guy who shares my face. You don't think about it. I just think about the fact that I have siblings, same as my older brother. I have a sibling. And then all of a sudden, even today, you'll clue in. You'll be like, that is a little weird. It's a little strange.
Well, and actually people think, you know, the triplets make us not as cool anymore, but still people will look at us like we're the craziest thing they've ever seen. And right. And that's kind of funny to me because I'm like, twins are pretty common now.
So the new magazine, how did this venture start?
Well, it's all our fans. It comes from the fans, and they've said, you know, they love what we do with our shows and we're inspiring them in their homes, but they're always asking for more ways that we can sort of inspire them or uplift them or share stories with them. And we thought, you know, our brand isn't just a home brand anymore. It's a lifestyle brand. Mm-hmm. And there are more aspects to our lives and stories that we want to share. And so Reveal you know, our slogan is it all starts at home, but home is a springboard for life. So whether it's food, travel, family, love, we wanted to share more. And there's so many amazing people like yourself in our first issue.
That's right.
You're in there at home feature, at
in
home
my,
with
in
Kate.
In my favorite room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's exciting for us to share other inspiring stories out there.
And there's cool stuff too. You know, we've got, you know, in the very first issue, we've got our parents, but every issue will have some celebrities' parents that will talk about an aspect of growing up.
Or celebrities something. That are parents.
Yeah, celebrities that are parents.
That's cool.
We've also got like fails. Zoe is doing the fail article where they went out to do something, whether it was to throw a party or to make some fashion decision, and it just totally bombed. Ooh, bad. Yeah. And so it's a lighthearted take on something that can give people real steps, simple steps to get more out of life.
But also, it's great. It's really, and it's just, it's pulling back the curtains a little more on our lives. And there's so much, family is the number one most important thing to us. My wife and I want to have kids soon too, and I think there's a lot that we can still learn and share the experience as we grow together with our audience. And I mean, amazing people too, like if you know Joy Cho, mm-hmm. between the Joy brand, she's going to be featured as well. And we have so many amazing people that are sharing stories.
I always like when you kind of, because we talk about this a lot, and you kind of, you're going into your content piece, you know, where you get to talk about other things that are an extension of yourself. Like after a while, you know, you guys probably do a lot of talking about yourself, and
especially Jonathan,
and the things that you do, but you really also get to now highlight people that inspire you or that you like what they're doing and
exactly.
all that. So that's fun. And then Brother Versus Brother. And this is you guys competing, which is
always
what you do best.
This is season 7 of Brother Versus Brother. That's so after
wild.
Property Brothers and our other shows, Jonathan and I were talking to the network, and they're like, your shows are the top shows on the network. Is there anything else you can do for us? And we said, well, we love to compete. And they would see that on social media and whatnot. People's our fans loved it as well. And we're like, why don't we compete designing two houses? So this was actually Jonathan's plan to get me from just wearing a suit and getting my hands dirty again. So I had to get in there and do my own construction.
And how does that usually pan out?
Well, I've won more episodes than Drew has.
You have.
Who is the winner?
I've won more episodes. You've won more overall sale.
Yeah, that's true. So basically the way it works is each episode there's a challenge like the kitchen challenge and whatnot. We'll have random celebrity friends who come in and judge the spaces based on whatever they want. They can judge. They can say, I don't like pink, so you lose, whatever. The way you win an actual season, the whole season of it is we renovate the houses, we sell them, and then whichever brother makes a bigger profit wins, period.
Oh,
and then
cool.
all the money goes to charity.
That's great.
And so the funny thing is the last season we shot in San Francisco. And so and every challenge too, whenever one of the brothers lose an episode like the living room or the master bedroom, there's a winning brother and a losing brother. And so the winning brother gets a reward. And so one of our challenges was, like, I'm a huge basketball nut. And so one of the rewards was to go shoot hoops with Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I want this one. And the losing brother had to be the ball boy. Well, sure enough, I won. And so we get to do fun things that are centric to the city.
Did you get to shoot with Steph?
Yeah, I did. And he's
like a golf guy.
I love Raptors. I love Clippers. I haven't actually been to see the Lakers.
The
Raptors, you lost your boy.
No, I know. Well, he's here now, so I can see him in L.A.
Lakers.
But then also Golden State. But with that, we're now filming Brother vs. Brother Season 7 in L.A. So the only thing I can tease to everybody is think of the fun L.A.-centric rewards that you're going to see in punishments for Jonathan or loser.
Can I pitch myself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. How will you reward us?
We'll give you 30 seconds.
No,
go.
Okay. 30 seconds. I want to renovate my house. I don't want to spend a lot of money. Is there any way that I can be on the show so I can get my house renovation
That's
done for free?
That's the pitch we get from everybody. That's so, literally the pitch from everybody.
Yeah, but
have
you
learned nothing from this podcast?
I mean, no, Oliver.
Homeowners pay for 80% of the renovation, so they're still paying for the renovation
on the show.
Yeah, so
that's a good 20%.
We give not only they get use of our design team for free.
Yeah.
We get it done in a fraction of the time. Most people I know in LA who are renovating, it's like a year and a half or more renovation.
But also, we stretch a budget like no one's business. I mean, if you see sometimes you're like, you renovated that house for that much money. Come on,
yeah.
But our budgets are real. It's just we get some stuff for free as well, trade outs from companies, but we really know how to organize, stretch a budget, and do it fast.
What's the biggest budget house you've ever done?
Well, so
Brady Bunch house.
Yeah,
did you do that one?
That was pretty big. I mean,
that was awesome.
That was we've done in the millions for residential. I used to do commercial before we were doing the shows and whatnot, and so those were large budgets as well. But
I'm like kind of a celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can. I can help out with. I think it'll be a big show. I think it'll be a big show.
I absolutely love your sister.
Yeah, you can't pay with
just consider the pitch.
Okay.
At least consider it. My house is like a children's frat house. I have three kids. The dogs piss everywhere. I need an adult home.
I'm going to do this for the kids.
I'm going to do this for the children.
Well, Oliver has been trying to renovate his house.
I think this could be a great episode.
I'm actually renovating this house.
If we had to choose one of your two houses to renovate on, and you had to each choose one reason why you would be the better candidate, how would you sales pitch that?
I mean, me.
Well, what?
That's
why?
The reason. That's I like the reasoning. Just, me really selling us on it.
What?
Just me.
Me. Period.
Why? Well, why are you the better candidate?
He'll give us fake
ideas. Oh, well, because first of all, I don't have an eye for design like Kate does, but I'm willing to learn. I know what's good. I just don't know how to make it all come together. I have three kids and not nearly the amount of money that Kate has to do whatever she wants with her 17 houses and properties.
I don't have seven. I have one property.
But you could have more houses if you wanted.
Now he's hypothetically bashing you.
No, okay. But so, basically. You know, and I'm better on camera in a sort of an improv sense. You know what I mean? Like, I will be more
what
flashy.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just fun. I'm just
feel
a fun
like
guy.
In your process of applying to our show, you've now ruined your sister brother relationship.
No, I'm so used to this. But here's what I would say. Here's why I'd be the best candidate for your show. It's because
you have 11 million Instagram followers.
I actually really love to build homes, and the attachment I've had to this property is really intense because we grew up over there. So I've held on to this house forever.
I win.
In the time it took for you guys to pitch those, we've unfortunately fully cast the show.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, so how often do you talk each day? These are our speed rounds.
With each other?
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah, every day.
At least. Multiple times a day?
Mostly just by a text.
Ooh, what's the dumbest thing you've done to be competitive? Something just stupid where it's like, I'm better than you, but this is completely lame.
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. I'd have to think. I mean, I do a lot of dumb shit.
I mean, when we were younger, he used to try to, like, if there was a girl we both kind of liked, he'd try to get there first before me to one-up me. And then sometimes I think it was a little bit too intense and stalkerish. And so that was always making them like me more.
Do you guys have the same body hair pattern?
I have no body hair.
Do you have any body hair?
I have body like hair.
You do. So you have body hair and you don't.
I have lasers.
Oh, you laser.
Here we go again. Let me start with this stuff. Yeah. We're gonna. Okay. One word to describe each other. But you describe each other.
Okay. All in. That's two words, but it's still
Jonathan.
Hyphenated.
So Drew says Jonathan is all in. Jonathan, Drew?
I would say like forward.
Like nice.
Definitely the more outgoing word.
Who's better at keeping a secret?
Definitely, Drew.
Jonathan.
Me, Drew.
Oh my gosh, no, he's the worst.
Oh, really?
You have to tell me it's a secret for me to know more. I have to keep it.
Boom, I'm with you, man.
Thank you.
If you don't tell me not to say anything, then I'm just going to say it.
How am I supposed to not tell the family that someone's pregnant?
Because you don't indulge unless... Oh my God,
I know this is a speed round, but can I just really quickly say this?
Yeah.
It was a big reveal on Property Brothers, and the family, the wife was revealing on the show that she's pregnant, but she didn't want to tell her family until the show was airing, so all her family would see on the show that she's saying she's pregnant. Well, the production team was there, and they were told I was shooting on another location, and then I came over. They were all told it's a secret from the family, and then we were just about to do a big thing with the family at the end, like your congratulations. So I come in. The first thing I say to the production person, I'm like, hey, so does everyone know that it's that she's pregnant? And they're like, yeah, everyone knows. Well, they meant all the crew know. I thought they meant all the family know. So we did a big speech in front of the whole family.
No.
And the lady's we're so happy to be on Property Brothers. Thank you for doing this with us. And then I take the mic. And then I'm saying next to her, I'm like, well. Oh, she's like, this renovation was such a great surprise for us. And then I take the mic. And I'm like, well, that's not the only great surprise. And I put my hand on her stomach. And I'm like... And I look out, and all I see is Jonathan and all our team, like, to their hand to their throats, God. Going,
mortified.
Up!
Mortified.
You got to tell me it's a secret.
That's funny. That's funny.
Okay, what do you think is the biggest difference between the two of you?
Jonathan,
intellect.
Jonathan likes Jonathan likes downtime more. I'm learning to like downtime more. I'm a workaholic, and I really love a busy pace. And especially with wanting kids soon, I need to
learn to shut up.
Can I say something real quick? You know what's so funny is like we do these podcasts, we always sit across. It always seems like the two similar people are sitting next to each other in every single one we do.
So you don't shower either?
No.
No, it's cool. Yeah. It's a waste of
water. I actually hate showering.
I'm an eco warrior.
Yeah.
Who's more outgoing?
I would say overtly, like as far as like meeting people and doing that and having friends and being social,
Drew.
But both outgoing.
Who is messier?
Jonathan, 100%.
I mean, you know,
I'm a clean freak.
I like things where I like things, but I don't have to put all the clothes away or the dishes away until after I've enjoyed the meal.
No. Okay, would win in a fist fight?
Drew, 100%.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
You
about
would
that.
Win?
I don't know.
Why are you in so a fist surprised? Fight?
Because he seems a little, I don't know.
I fight dirty.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, you go for the shins.
He'd pull out like a, he'd like, slice my ankle or something, and I would just go for my
I'm wiry.
One most punch.
Who's funnier?
I'm stronger.
Who's the funniest of you two?
I would say John. Like John is funny, but we play off each other. That's what we love. We get asked to do individual appearances, but I actually enjoy being together because we have a fun sibling dynamic.
So who's the wittiest? Like who's the?
I would say probably like I think that would probably be it.
I'd say maybe Jonathan. Yeah.
And Goofy. Who's goofiest?
We trade off. I think the fans may think that on the show, Jonathan's goofier because there's more like screen time doing Demolition where he can goof off. Uh-huh. But in reality,
90% of what I say on the show, they could never air.
So I think in reality, probably me, but on the show, it appears Jonathan.
So who's the most rebellious?
Jonathan, growing up, 100%. He rebelled more than I was. He was a pain in the butt.
Are you guys 100% authentic on this show? Or is there a part of you that sort of gives it a little bit more because you know you're on camera, you know you're entertaining, no, you know? I mean, are you just so, are you? This is who you are.
It is who we are. And I think that's one thing that the fans really love and gravitate towards is that when they meet us in person, they're always like, you're so you on the show. I'm like, well, we're not pretending to be someone else. So.
If you were to cast yourself in a movie, who would you cast?
Well, Jonathan always gets Harry Connick Jr. Yeah, like all the time.
Well, by looks,
or he had Pee Wee Herman.
So then that would be Paul Reubens. Basically they'd have
Paul Reubens. No, but I never get that.
I don't even know why I'm asking this because then it would have to be the same guy.
No, that's the funny thing though. Nobody ever says that. Everyone always says he looks like Harry Connick, but I always get if my hair like a bit of beard and shorter hair, I get Ben Affleck, or I get like Tony Robbins. So
that's a nice cross,
Tony Robbins.
It's a nice it's like cross.
If Tony and
I would cast Christopher Walken as myself. Mm-hmm.
I see.
I think so.
Okay, so the best advice that you've received from each other. We liked this is our favorite part.
Advice. I'd say the one thing that I really love that Jonathan and I are a good reminder for each other, and because I'm a workaholic, it's nice for him to remind me to enjoy the journey. It's not always just about the end result. To take time to enjoy the journey, especially when I have someone amazing like my wife with me, take time to enjoy the small moments along the way.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Drew had sort of brought into the fact that when we would disagree on how to do something, Drew had said, you got to understand there's a million right ways to do something, but it doesn't always take the right, there's a million right ways to do something, but it doesn't always take the same path to get there.
Right.
And so that was actually very valuable because you're right, at the end of the day, who cares what method you use as long as you
get. Yeah. I mean, and tying into that though too, best advice we ever had together from our mom and dad, like they gave us so much great advice. And at the time as kids, you don't think about it, but like stuff, for example, I said, you can always get to the top. If you're really passionate about something and you want to achieve something, you can always get there, but there's always a path to do it without stepping on someone along the way. And I think that's how we've always lived our lives, is we never have to knock someone else down or put someone else in a worse situation to get to where we wanted to get to. There's always a way to work with other people to get there.
Sounds like you have awesome parents.
I know.
They're rock stars.
Are they still together?
They're still together. We spend as much time as possible together. They're going to be with us over the holidays too. So.
Still in love and all that. That's so great.
Yeah,
it's not. So that's a rarity.
If you could give your sibling something, like if you could insert them with a characteristic or something that you knew would be amazing for them, what would that be?
Like, what do you wish
that they don't already have?
Yeah, something that if you just had this, you know,
I would say the ability to realize that other people have emotions and don't necessarily think about things like a robot.
I've worked on that over my years with Linda. Before, I was very, I just talked to everyone the way I talked to John. They're very straightforward. And but now
I've learned
to mellow. I would say, which Johnson's actually come to realize, I think, too. But, you know, over the years, he's been in and out of relationships. And I think the one great thing was to, like, it was to remind him that he is a catch. Like, I'm not just saying that because he looks like me. Like, he is a great person. He loves with his whole heart whenever he's with somebody. And that he will find somebody that feels the same way in return and gives him back how much that he gives.
Yeah.
And I like that he... I don't know if that was a reminder that you needed, but I like that he took that and now he's in an amazing relationship.
That's great. And what would you take? What would you take from each other? Like, if you could take one thing,
relieve.
It would be that carefree thing where you just go up and meet a stranger and have no problem meeting a stranger. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Would
you like to have a piece of that?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And I think Jonathan is fearlessness. Jonathan is a hopeless romantic. And so I think for me, like, there's so many little things that he always does. I'm like, that's taking so much time. Why are you doing that? But he does all these amazing little things. I think that's something that I'm continually learning from him to improve on.
Yeah. The fearlessness. That's the word that I use with her too, because that's what I would take. Yeah. From Kate. She's just fearless. And if I could have a little piece of that, I'd be way more famous than her.
It's a very good attribute.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are amazing.
I would chat for another 2 hours, but I have to pee.
Thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you, guys.
And
thank you.
We'll see you again when you do my house.
When you do my house.
Thanks, guys.
Later.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.